Paul Tuller told me to be sure and give him my good side. I don't know what that is. But anyway, hopefully you got it that time, Paul. I also had someone tell me last night that they had it all backwards because this lesson says, rebuke for beforehand. But if that's true, then our next brother, Kevin Berry, bless his heart, we're supposed to shun, depart, and avoid, and flee from him. What a delightful privilege it is to be here this morning. If you did not hear Brother Israel Rodriguez's lesson this morning, I may want to preach some of it myself again. Oh, it was good, powerful, extraordinary. Good to meet you, Brother Stark. I believe this is our first time to meet, maybe before, but this time I kind of remember it. Of course, you know my motto, I never remember a name, but I always forget a face. I hope a little levity helps because this is, as Brother Walker said, one of those lessons that you really would rather never have to preach and proclaim. It does have to happen sometime. In the book, as it's set forth, we looked at the definition of rebuke, at improper rebuke, at correct rebuke, and then finally the divine charge to rebuke. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the scripture says, I charge thee, this American Standard reading of 1901, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching or doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust and turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables. This is the inspired word of God. And several passages, one that Brother Israel touched on, but several passages emphasize to us again the importance of not merely the word of God, but every individual word as God has given it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write, all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Ephesians 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul is inspired to write, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known unto the sons of men, as it hath now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, the Apostle Peter says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for there was born to him such a voice by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we ourselves heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you give heed as unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scriptures of any private interpretation, origination. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. In the word of God we have the divine charge. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. The scripture records that Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be damned. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name unto all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, said our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the word rebuke. It is God's word. It is part of heaven's vocabulary, and it is a responsibility that is laid on each one of us. Amen. What are some of the ramifications and some of the results of this charge? Well, that's what we want to look at this morning for just a few minutes. And I want to focus this morning on the divine charge, rebuke. You can read those other portions in the book. I hope you will. Some of the things I'm going to be saying right now are not in the book. I guess you'll just have to get one of the DVDs or CDs. Of course, Paul and Shirley won't mind that at all. And not only do I not want to rebuke, but I want to express deep appreciation to my young brother, Brian, for leading our singing this evening. I've known Brian for a long time, since he was a little boy, when we were in Marlin, and he was a very shy little boy, and he really didn't want to try to do anything. And he has blossomed and grown and obeyed the gospel, become a Christian. And just, did you sing with him this morning as he led us in this great singing? Amen. Wonderful, wonderful time. When we think then about this idea, the divine charge rebuke, we notice that it requires some things. There are some things that are required before this divine charge to rebuke can actually be accomplished. The first thing that's necessary is intellectual honesty and integrity. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus made the point that the seed of the kingdom, the word of God, Luke chapter 8, verse 11, will not have the effect it's supposed to have unless the heart is honest and good. But the good soil, these are such as in an honest and good heart receive the word and bring forth fruit with patience. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, inspiration says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If I may chase a rabbit here for just a moment, this is one of the things that's so wrong with secret organizations. Your Masons, your Odd Fellows, several other of those particular organizations that claim they can't tell you their secrets, even though they're all published all over the world. Go to practically any library and you can find out everything about them and how unholy and ungodly they are. But they claim to be secret organizations, and a Christian can't be in a secret organization because a Christian has to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, read the list, honest. Think on these things. Regarding elders of the Lord's church, inspiration has the Apostle Peter write, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, neither as a lording over the flock are the charge allotted to you, but making yourselves ensamples to the flock. So this idea of intellectual honesty and integrity is an essential element in our being able to do any part of the Word of God and the work of God, but especially this idea of engaging in rebuke. The divine charge rebuke requires, in the second place, righteous judgment. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not, period, exclamation point, paragraph, right? Not hardly. Not hardly. Listen to the whole passage, verses 1 through 6. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say unto thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of thine eye, and lo, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! Now, there's the kind of judging that Jesus is forbidding. Hypocritical judgment. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see, it's not wrong to help a brother get a mote out of his eye. Just got to make sure you're not a hypocrite when you're doing it, with a beam hanging out of your own eye. And then he says, do not give that which is holy unto dogs, and do not cast your pearls before swine, lest haply they trample them underfoot and turn and rend you. And he's not talking about hogs and dogs. He's talking about people who behave that way. In John chapter 7 and verse 24, inspiration says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, the scripture says, but strong meat, solid food is for full grown men, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We have to make sure that we're discerning good and evil. Not what I like, not what I feel, not what I think, not what I want, but what God said. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the last part of verse 7 and verse 8, inspiration says, and exercise thyself unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. The divine charge, rebuke, also requires submission to Jesus' authority. Philippians chapter 2. We have been treated many times, many circumstances, many sermons, to verses 5 through 8. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on himself the form of a servant, being made in likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, that is a beautiful thing, and that's the mind we ought to have. But inspiration continues. Notice as we begin with verse 9, wherefore also God hath highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Again, Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, inspiration says, and he, God the Father, put all things in subjection under his, Jesus Christ, feet. All things put in subjection under his feet. Hebrews 2, 8 and 9. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. In that he saith all things are put in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. But we see not yet all things subjected unto him. Kind of almost seems like a contradiction until you realize that all things are under Jesus' authority, with the one exception of human beings who have the right to choose whether or not they will be subject to him in the here and now. But if we do not subject our will in the here and now, we will find, according to Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and following, that the time is coming when, God said to me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, for we must all stand in the judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 3 John verses 9 and 10, inspiration talks about a man who would not be subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. You know Diotrephes. You know what inspiration says against him. John says he's prating against us, and he loves to have the preeminence. That must be one thing we absolutely avoid with every fiber of our being. The Lord gets the first word. The Lord gets the middle word. The Lord gets the last word. And then and only then will we be subject to the authority of Jesus Christ. But finally, the Lord's charge, rebuke, requires rebuking all evil. rebuking all evil. Atheists, we need to rebuke them. I have heard it said that the word atheist cannot be found in the Bible. In the English language, that's true, but if you'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, in the original language, inspiration says that you and me, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision in the flesh, that we were at that time. That is, while the Old Testament was in force, it was only for physical, national, religious Israel. Never was for Gentiles. While it was in force, we were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and atheos, atheists, without God in the world. That's a terrible situation in which to be. And inspiration tells us in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, that a person who's in that category is a fool. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Not only do we need to rebuke the atheist, we need to rebuke the sectarian denominationalist. One of the most amazing things to me is that those who are in sectarian denominationalism accuse members of the Lord's church of being sectarian because we say God is right. I get excited about that. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. But inspiration says we are to rebuke them as well. Because you see, like the atheist, if we do like little Bo Peep and just pay no attention, you know, leave them alone, they won't come home. They won't come home. They have to hear the Word of God and believe the Word of God and submit their wills to the will of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ in His last will and testament, or they cannot be saved. We need to rebuke the immoral. We need to rebuke those who reject New Testament authority. I never cease to be amazed at how especially those in apostasy, those who have left the truth, or as the Hebrew writer describes it in chapter 10, verses 27, 28, and 29, that they have done despite unto the Spirit of grace, that they have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith they were sanctified an unholy thing. The apostates, they want to go back and say, well, David used instrumental music. Go back to the Old Testament. And I know that inspiration says with regard to those who go back to the Old Testament, Galatians chapter 5 verse 4, that they are severed from Christ, fallen away from grace. We have been inundated over recent years with those of Islam who have severed the heads of American citizens. And somehow or another, we're supposed to believe it's not Islam that's doing that. It's just radicals. But if you ever read Quran, you'll find that it tells every last one of them to do that. Amen. Kill them all. If they will not submit to Allah. You know what's so funny about that? They claim Allah is the only God, but if you study Allah, you find that He's just the sun god of the pantheon of gods that Arabs believed and held to for centuries up until Muhammad came along. The New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. For this cause He, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament. That by means of death, for the redemption of the grand transgressions that were under the first testament, they that were called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of the testator. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You see, my dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and whoever else might be here this morning, children, you need to learn this lesson. Every covenant, even if it was an accurate and correct covenant given by God to somebody, Noah, Abraham, the Israelites, every covenant that came before the new covenant, the New Testament came too soon. And every testament that's come since the New Testament came too late. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Then as he said, lo, I am come to do thy will. He taketh away the first. The only legitimate covenant, the Old Testament, was taken away, that he may establish the second, by the which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And it is amazing to me that the Apostle Paul would say to the elders, the pastors, the bishops of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all them that are sanctified. If you want the inheritance, you got to go to the last will and testament of Jesus Christ to get it. Those who teach false doctrine. 2 John verses 9 through 11, inspiration says, whosoever goeth onward, transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine, the same hath both the Father and the Son. If any man cometh unto you and bringeth not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and give him no greeting. For he that giveth him greeting partaketh in his evil deeds. I'd like for you to notice that from God's point of view, the greatest evil on earth today is false doctrine. Do you know why? Because it is the parent. It is the father, the mother, the grandfathers, the grandmothers, the great-grandfathers, the great-grandmothers of every false action that there is in the world. Somebody believes that something wrong is okay, and they do it. Someone believes that something that is right is not right, and they don't do it. False doctrine. It is the parent of all incorrect activity in the world today. False doctrine. And so we're to rebuke those in false doctrine. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, but speaking the truth in love. Now, when we rebuke somebody, we got to make sure that it's because we love them. It's too easy to make that claim when the truth is we're just getting back at them. Got to be careful about that. Check your own soul. Make sure it's out of love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. The Apostle Paul says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I resisted him to his face because he was to be blamed. He stood condemned. For before certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he separated himself, and all of the Jews dissembled likewise with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. He rebuked him to his face, withstood him to his face. And by the way, that was in the congregation. Oh my. Peter got really mad at that too, you know. He wouldn't have anything to do with Peter after that. Never did. No. You read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And you read where he says, even as our beloved brother Paul. You see, Paul wanted me to go to heaven. Paul stood up and had the courage to rebuke me before the entire congregation so that I could go to heaven. He loved me that much. And he not only loved me that much, he loved the Gentiles that much, and he loved the Jews who came from James that much, to say this kind of dissimulation, this hypocrisy cannot be allowed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, the Bible talks about division that was taking place in Corinth. I see the same kind of division today. Men want special honor, special glory, special privilege. Maybe I'm going to rebuke some of my preaching brethren right now. I hear preachers say, am I right? Am I right? Am I right? And I want to say, no. What you said is right because it's the word of God. But it's God who's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. If you're so interested in being right, then you need to repent. Because God is right. Give God the glory, not any man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, the Apostle Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been signified unto me concerning you, my brethren, by them that are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I mean, each one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Just in case you didn't get the picture, he said, that kind of division cannot stand. Amen. Glory to men. Preacheritis, one of the worst sins that there is in the brotherhood. I don't know how many congregations have been divided over preacheritis. Terrible, terrible sin. I love Don Walker, just in case you didn't notice. And I love these other brethren who are gospel preachers here this morning. And I hope you love those who are proclaiming the Word of God where you are. But if the time ever comes that it boils down to that preacher or the Word of God, you better take the Word of God. Amen. The divine charge, rebuke, requires personal intellectual honesty and integrity. It requires righteous judgment. It requires submission to the authority of Jesus Christ in His New Testament, His last will and testament, and it requires that we rebuke all evil. Yes, sir. I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine. But having itching ears will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust. Turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables.